I will fickle my heart and I'll woozy my eyes. I struggle to find any truth in your lies. Now my heart stumbles on things I don't know. This weakness I feel I must finally show. Lend me your hand and we'll conquer them all. But lend me your heart and I'll just let you fall. Lend me your eyes, I can change what you see. But your soul you must keep totally free. Truth in your life. And now my heart stumbles on things I don't know. This weakness I feel I must finally show. Die where you invest your love, you invest your life. In these bodies we will live, in these bodies we will die. Where you invest your love, you invest your life.
Welcome to this time of worship. As we are gathered to worship the one who awakens our souls, we're gathered in this community of faith to be called and shaped by Jesus. We come seeking the light, seeking the truth, seeking to be filled with the Spirit of God. This week we are called with the blind men and the Pharisees out of the arrogance of assuming and the timidity of presuming. We're called out of the darkness and the structures that keep God at bay, into the truth and light of the one who offers sight and life. We've come to worship the God who keeps probing and insisting and demanding until we yield to his healing power and his reconciling love. And so we learn again that even as we see God, God has already sought us.
Share that with everybody. Hey, all you guys out there, I want you to listen up just a minute. I got something to tell you. Guess what happened to me? You're not going to guess it anyway, so I'm going to tell you. You probably don't even recognize me. My parents don't recognize me. My friends don't recognize me. My neighbors don't recognize me. Nobody recognizes me. You're not going to believe what happened to me. You see, I used to be blind. I was blind when I was born. I've never seen a thing. Till yesterday. Let me tell you what happened. See, I was sitting alongside of the road like I normally do. And I heard people coming by. They always come by. Sounded like it was a small group of people, maybe 16 or so. One of them saw me, made some comment about my condition. And he made the comment like a lot of people do. Who had sinned? Was it this guy? Was it his parents? That's the reason he's blind, right? Somebody sinned. Hated the question. Hated the answer even worse because usually they were blaming me. But there was a guy in that group that made a comment, and it was different than the normal comments. You see, he said that neither I or my parents had sinned. And then something that struck me, he made the comment, he said, God's work is going to be revealed in me. And then he also said that he was the light of the world. Well, I didn't know what that meant. But I did catch his name. They said that his name was Jesus, and so at least I could, maybe next time he came by, I could recognize who he was. Then I got a little nervous because I heard him come over. And he spit on the ground. And then I could feel him or hear him making some noise in the dirt. Got a little worried. See, a lot of people like to act like they're healers or something. And so last month, some guy had decided that I was healed and I could see. And so he told me to get up and walk on over to where he was and don't use your cane. Yeah, I had a cane, you know, I could see, you know, feel where I was going. No, use it. Don't need it. Well, I went and got up and went over. Couldn't see a thing. Tripped all over the place. Fell everywhere. Very embarrassing. But this guy just simply reached down, got some of that mud, and put it on my eyes. Told me to go over and wash in the eastern pool. So some of my buddies that were with me, they kind of helped me over to the pool, and I went over there and washed the mud off my face. I could see. I actually could really see. I was walking around. I was dancing around. I was tripping. Not the kind of tripping I did last month, but I was tripping. I was having a great time. It was amazing. Greatest day of my life. I could see everything. A light, it was a little bright, you know, never seen before. It was a little tough, but I could start to make out things. I could see people. I could see my friends. I could see what they looked like. I could see my parents for the first time. I'd never seen them before. I could really see. It was beautiful. It was beautiful. But unfortunately for me, the day was not over. You see, it was the Sabbath day. Jewish. So my family took me to the Pharisees because they wanted to see what their comments would be about my condition being reversed. And you know what? They weren't quite sure about this healing, and they weren't sure about this Jesus guy. Because all this happened on the Sabbath day. So they argued about whether making the mud was a sinful act, because you're not supposed to work on the Sabbath, and making mud apparently is a lot of work. And if that was the case, then Jesus is a sinner because he broke the rules of the Sabbath day. Or they were trying to decide if Jesus was actually from God because only God can heal. So if I was really healed, then this guy would have to be from God. And they weren't really going down that road. So I was getting a little frustrated and a little impatient. A little ticked off, actually. Here I am. I can see for the first time. And why am I having to waste my first couple hours of seeing with these people? They're arguing about scriptures and about God's laws. And I can see. Can't they see that it's a miracle? Or don't they want to see? And then if it is a miracle and I can see, then Jesus has to be from God because only God can heal. But they couldn't see it. They wouldn't believe it. They even called in my parents to testify. No matter what they said, no matter what I said, and believe me, I wasn't being real quiet. They didn't believe it. In fact, they kicked me out and told me that I was born entirely of sin. But I was there trying to teach them something that they didn't know. So they told me to get out. And all I was doing was pointing to the bare facts. I don't know whether he's a sinner or not, but I do know that I was blind, and now I can see. So y'all make your own conclusions. That got me out the door. But the best was yet to come. Now, as I was leaving the synagogue with the Pharisees behind me trying to make sure that I was getting out and getting not just outside the door, I needed to get down the road, Jesus found me again. And he asked me if I believed in the Son of Man, saying that he was the Son of Man. I said, "Yes, Lord, I believe." And then he turned and taught everybody there. And he said something that I'm not going to forget. He said, "I came into this world for judgment so that those who did not see may see. And those who do see may become blind." I get the first part. I was blind, now I see. But why would he want anybody to be blind? I was blind. It's terrible. Why would a good person want anybody to be blind? But then I realized that he was talking about something entirely different. Because I heard the Pharisees saying to each other under their breath, we're not blind, are we? But of course Jesus heard them. And he spoke to them, to those people who could not, would not, did not see him as the Son of Man. And he said, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now that you say, we see, your sin remains. Well, a bunch of the Pharisees, they left. They were ticked off. They were mad. Some of them just kind of got on that pious horse and they just walked away. But to the credit of some of them were trying to really actually think what he was talking about and trying to make sense of that. And then I could actually see a few of them, well, they actually looked a little embarrassed. The rest of us just followed Jesus and we went on our way. And I got to tell you, I let everybody know, and I still let everybody know, that I was blind, but now I see.
Let us pray. Ceaselessly loving and forever healing God, you call us endlessly out of our arranged lives, into your dreams and visions, your purposes and sights. Touch us this morning with your love, with your life-giving light. Reshape us in your wholeness, in your healing presence, and expand us by your power to worship you that we may see you more fully, love you more dearly, and walk more closely with you. We pray in the name of the one who opens our eyes. Amen.
As we move toward this scripture and these stories, I'd like to open our eyes spiritually in a moment of prayer. Let's pray. Lord God, our being, our creator, and the one who first loved us, who has walked with us in spirit in this service to open our eyes in new ways through the turn of the phrase of a hymn, and the smile of a child, and the power of the narrative Steve brought to us. We thank you that you are with us, opening our eyes to see the power of your grace and your truth within us and around us. I pray that these words be offered up to you, that you would open the eyes of our hearts to see you more clearly. In the great healer's name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. A lot of the turns of the sermon were covered in the narrative Steve brought to us and Reuben Shank wrote. I'm going to begin this sermon with three stories, and I invite you children to listen because a few of these stories connect to children. The first is a story that I heard about 5 years ago. It's a story about a young boy who had a very, very, very difficult childhood. It was not easy. It was terrible. It was not normal. It was painful. And when this young boy grew into a teenager, he ended up in prison a number of times. Because the eyes of his emotions and his conscience and his spirit were never really opened well by those around him. And he was blind inside to a degree. This man is somebody whose story we heard, and that's Reverend Washington of the Bridge Ministry. He told me this story after meeting with our church once in his choir about 7 years ago, and he has a ministry with folks who've been in prison or have significant addiction or life challenges south of town. And there have been struggles in that ministry, but he told me this story. He said, "You know, Roy, I don't say this much, but when I was sitting in prison, in the Culpeper prison, years ago before I started this ministry, it was a Mennonite chaplain, Aaron King, who came to me and reached out to me and helped me see the grace of God for my life and turned me around and enabled me to start this ministry by the grace of God." Another story. I grew up with a man like this boy who was born blind. In my home church in Pennsylvania, a second cousin of mine, I've told a story once before, but I'll turn the angle a bit different this time. His name was Dale Aldifer. His mother had rubella when she was pregnant with him. And it was a challenging journey because for the first 7 years of his life, his parents thought he was blind and deaf. And they treated him that way. And so Dale didn't know what it was like to communicate for the first 7 years of his life. But Dale was brilliant. Inside the mind he had to himself for 7 years, he constructed a world of imagination. He had a brilliant memory. You can ask him what he did any day of his life, and he will tell you where he was and what he did. I just talked to him 3 weeks ago after the death of his mother, and we remembered some of the trips we took together. Dale had somebody who helped open his eyes in the school for severely disabled children he went to when one of his teachers had a hunch. One of his teachers mixed the spit of intuition with the mud of her observations and said, "This guy can see. This guy can see." And he could. Even though he's legally blind, they finally got him very, very strong glasses. And they finally got him hearing aids. And at age 7, he started to relate to the world. It wasn't easy. It was not easy. What trust could he have known? It was a long journey, and I won't go into all of it, but it's a journey this person probably had to make from Scripture. Because his parents were probably just as confused. And I'm going to back up through Dale's history a bit. A month ago, Dale stood at his mother's, Rose's, funeral and read a meditation he had written for her. It was powerful. When I was in my 20s and went back to visit my home church once, I saw Dale read Scripture in church. It was powerful. Dale had every TV channel in every city memorized. San Francisco, what are the TV channels? He used to read TV guides for the fun of it. Memorizing channels and shows. His mind was amazing, but it was trapped in blindness. When I was a teenager, I was asked by Dale's family to help mainstream Dale into the youth group. So Dale, who had struggled trusting, stuck beside me in the youth group. I remember hiking once with Dale up a mountain, and the youth group took a hike. And it was hard keeping my own balance, because Dale had some balance and inner ear issues. But emotionally, he also stuck there. until he gradually, over the years, began to feel more comfortable with being on his own socially. And it was a journey. When his eyes were opened physically, he began a journey opening his emotional eyes and his spiritual eyes. And the day of his baptism was powerful. Another story. In the early 1980s, I was in Egypt in Mennonite Central Committee, and we got together for retreats once in a while with the other workers from around the Middle East. One of these other workers was a young Mennonite guy who had grown up in Afghanistan. He was working in southern Lebanon, recovering the war-torn civil war where people blinded by hatred were killing each other nonstop over and over again. He grew up in southern Lebanon. He grew up in Afghanistan and watched his father. His father was an eye surgeon who traveled across Afghanistan for 25 years doing eye surgery, bringing sight to people who couldn't see from cataracts or other preventable situations. Dr. Friesen, as he was known all over Afghanistan, was a kind of folk hero. But he was there with the mission, Mennonite mission in Afghanistan. My friend told me what it was like growing up with somebody who could restore sight to the blind, to have a father who could restore sight to the blind, and what it meant to go into a village or to a clinic where people were expecting that, if it was possible. It was fascinating hearing him describe that. One more story before I go into the scripture briefly. Last 3 days, I was at an amazing conference in Eastern Mennonite University called the Attachment Conference. Sean was there for part of the time, Sean Gerber. I can't describe it all. It'll be up on the website. But in the Thursday session, there was a internationally known therapist, Sue Johnson, who talked about emotionally focused therapy for couples. It's a new form of therapy that has a 75% success rate. You can look at it on EMU's website now and hear it described, and I encourage that. I won't go into it in detail. But she described a process she works with couples with related to attachment dynamics in which she helps couples and the people she works with discover their blindnesses, emotional, relational. We all have them. We all know we have them. We all remind each other that we have them. We find interesting ways to remind each other that we have them. In the words of one of the other speakers at the attachment conference, which had a professor from UVA who does brain scans, tracking emotional dynamics in people's lives. It was a fascinating presentation. One of the speakers who was a respondent, Christian Early, who was a philosophy professor at Eastern Mennonite University and gave profound reflections on each of the talks. He quoted his wife saying about him on one occasion, "Well, Richard, sometimes you use your narcissism to quite good effect." She's the head of the counseling program at Eastern Mennonite University and a major attachment theorist. You can watch some of her videos online as she talks about the power of realizing how our attachments shape us. I'm mentioning this to move into how Jesus worked at attachment in this situation in the last 5 minutes of this sermon. Sue Johnson, in her presentation, showed us a number of videos which you can hear online about how couples got in touch with their blindnesses in each other's presence. And it was powerful. I tend to know what mine are. It's not easy to know something and not easily be able to do something about it. And I experienced Sue Johnson's method as fairly powerful, because it involved mixing mud and spit. The things we say and do, and the rawness of the earth unformed, into something that's healing. That's what Jesus did. And in the last 5 minutes, I'd like to look at the structure of how Jesus did that. If we look carefully at this part of the book of John, we see Jesus, the author of life, the light of the world, moving into a situation and playing with a number of variables. Who were the actors here? You have the blind man. It's a physical disability. You have the parents whose dignity was robbed in the community by their son's blindness. What sin did his parents commit for him to be born blind? We have the disciples who were watching what Jesus was doing. We have the Pharisees who were like Nicodemus, who Reuben played a few weeks ago and preached a sermon on, was blind in his own way and struggling to see spiritually. We have the Pharisees who challenged the appropriateness of what Jesus did out of their constructs. As it were, they were straight-laced, suited, proper, appropriate people. What did the power of God do for each of these people? The blind man saw and was freed. The parents had their dignity restored. The disciples got to see a new way of being human in the image of God. And what did they do with that? They did the same thing in Acts by the power of the Spirit. If you look carefully, Peter names that same kind of transformation in Acts 3. When he stands up after the Pentecost, after the Spirit came on him, facing the people who called for Jesus' death, blinded in the spiritual and emotional eyes of hatred, or sacrifice of a scapegoat. They said, and Peter said to them, "You killed the author of life." Then he says to them, "But my friends, I know you acted in ignorance." So he named their blindness, invited them to God's grace. And he did it again in Acts 10, where he said, "Now I see before the enemy, Jewish, unclean, Gentile, centurion." He says, "Now I see." His own blindness was pulled away. What Peter, one of those disciples standing there watching this young blind man have his eyes restored and watching the dance of propriety and life-giving dynamic and the game between Jesus and the Pharisees worked out, meant that Peter could stand up in Acts 3 and say to the people who killed Jesus in their spiritual blindness, "You acted in ignorance." And then he would transcend his own ignorance in Acts 10, his own blindness spiritually and emotionally, and say, "Now I see." That story there, those stories in Acts 10 invite us to see that there are layers in our lives, spiritual and emotional and sometimes physical layers in our lives that we have to be able to learn how to see deeper through. That God is not finished with us yet. God is not finished with us yet. The power of Jesus' work here has many layers. And on my last note, I will name what one commentator says about this blindness and this blind man. That he is like Cain and Cain's brother Abel and Cain's own spiritual blindness in what he did to his brother Abel in killing him in the beginning. And Jesus removes that blindness symbolically and creates a new humanity, and still creates a new humanity in each of us. I invite you to remember Steve's words as he read the narrative of this scripture to us, how he reflected inwardly on what this transformation meant for him. That inward reflection is that space where God works in each of us, and we need to take the time for that work to happen. If we don't, we do blind things that destroy each other, ourselves, and the world. Witness what you see on the news. Witness what we struggle with inwardly. If Jesus is the light of the world, what does that mean for each of us today? Let us pray. Creator Spirit, who wills our transformation and who willed that we see even to his own death on the cross so that we might see spiritually anew. Our brokenness, our pain, our sinfulness before the loving God whose light in Jesus Christ yet gives us sight today. Enable us to see our blindness at the spiritual and personal and social and political levels of our being human. Enable us to hold your vision as your transforming light works through us as your body, the church. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let us express our longing for light through confessing together. Lord, we long for light, but all is darkness, and we walk in deep shadow. We have driven back justice. Truth has stumbled in the streets, and thick darkness is over the people. We confess our deeds of darkness. We confess to the Lord. As everything exposed to the light becomes visible, we walk from darkness into light. Open our eyes, Jesus, that our lives may radiate your glory.